Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 16th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we feature a discussion with Eric Nardini, the CEO of Barstool Sports, on how the partnership with Penn National Gaming is going 18 months after it was announced. This week's podcast is supported by Konami Gaming, live demoing its latest mobile, cashless, and cardless technology during G2E next month. When Penn National Gaming bought 36% of Barstool Sports, the logic was the company got access to more than a million members of Barstool, most of whom are the exact demographic that casino companies want. And with its focus on sports betting, Barstool was the perfect partner for Penn. Now well into their relationship, Barstool CEO Erica Nardini explains how it's going and what she expects to happen when Penn's option to buy the entire company comes up in a couple of years. She explains why Barstool connected with the younger generation and how the company sets goals even before they know how they're going to get there. She spoke with me via Zoom from the Barstool offices in New York City in July. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. Our guest today is the Barstool CEO, Erica Nardini. Erica, thanks for joining us today. It's good to see you.
You too.
So, your partnership with Penn is really one of the most unique sports betting partnerships in the industry. But when you joined Barstool, it was long before sports betting had been legalized. And did you guys have any really clue that was gonna happen and that would affect your company so much?
Yeah, so I joined Barstool in 2016. Dave Portnoy started Barstool in 2004. Uh-huh. I think he was betting long before that.
Right.
So sports betting was always part of Barstool's DNA. Dave liked to bet. He liked to talk about his bets. Mm-hmm. He liked to complain about his bets.
Right.
He brought on Barstool Big Cat, who was doing the same thing. So,
right.
I don't think we could have foreseen PASPA being repealed and
sure.
what a tremendous change that would create for us as a company. But once we saw the winds change and the light at the end of the tunnel, that this could be a reality in the U.S.,
sure.
we knew that was going to be a game changer for this company.
Okay, great. So once it did become legal, what kind of strategy did you have then? Do you approach other gaming companies or did they come to you?
Yeah, Barstool, we had been working with both FanDuel and DraftKings for years.
Right.
And prior to that, Barstool had worked with DraftStreet and really any iteration of Daily Fantasy.
Right.
As well as, a lot of different betting companies.
Right.
Casinos and betting companies. We first really went about what I would call a rental strategy, whereby we had multiple sports betting and fantasy partners. We segmented them into different types of programming, and we really had a horse race, for lack of a better word,
right.
Of bringing our audience, bringing our content, bringing our personality to bear, and ensuring that converted for multiple partners. And it had a positive effect on our revenue because everyone was competing for a finite set of assets.
Sure.
At Barstool Sports.
Sure.
Beyond that, we started thinking really seriously about would this be the exit for Barstool Sports, and should Barstool Sports ultimately be owned by a sports betting company, and should we, what would it look like if our brand became a sports betting brand?
Right.
And so we set about having, a ton of conversations. There's really not many people in the industry we didn't talk to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Penn ultimately became the right fit.
Right. So what was it about Penn that that made them so special?
There was a couple things about Penn. The first is that we got on with the Penn crew really well. It kind of, when you start a partnership or, you start to think about, could your company mesh up with somebody else's company? We had good chemistry from the start, which is really important to both Dave and myself.
Sure.
And I think it's important for a company like Barstool, which is kind of wears its heart on its sleeve and is what it is. And so partnership's really important to us. So we had a good feeling about them as partners. The second piece is Penn had everything we didn't,
right,
which was essentially guns, money, and steel. They had they had licenses. They had the casinos.
Right.
They had a lot of margin. They have a national footprint, you know, as the largest retail, you know, regional casino operator.
Right.
We had everything Penn didn't. You know, we understood the internet better than anybody. Mm-hmm. We had a brand that, you know, was beloved. We're making content in sports betting that I would say is some of the best content out there today.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so we knew, and we had a brand that was recognizable. And in, you know, 2 years ago, not many people were talking about Penn or Penn National the way they are now.
Yeah.
And so what we felt is the marriage of those two things could be really successful and really great for both audiences.
Sure. So what has your relationship been with Penn now that you're in trenches with them? You know, you have to you know, develop both land-based and online content. So how's that been working out so far?
It's been great. Mm-hmm. You know, we've really enjoyed our partnership. Mm-hmm. You know, collaborated. We've made a lot of different things happen. We've tried a lot of different promotions.
Right.
We've, you know, launched an app. We're, you know, we're gunning to be live in as many states as possible. So It by all means has been a sprint.
Right.
I think we've learned a lot from them.
Right.
And I think they've learned a lot from us, which is, I think, the best thing you can say from a partnership.
Sure, absolutely. So Penn owns 36% of Barstool right now, and they have an option to buy the entire company. You know, so if that happens, when and if, how will your role and Dave's role change, if any?
That's a great question. So hopefully Jay will keep us.
Yeah.
But, you know, what I would foresee is, you know, part of the reason Penn structured the investment in such a way as the acquisition would happen, you know, 3 years out was
right,
because they didn't have any experience with a media company,
right?
Mm-hmm. And an internet company.
Sure.
And we are decidedly an internet media company.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I would say is, you know, in 3 years time, I don't foresee there being a huge change in either Dave's role or mm-hmm. mine. I think we'll take on additional, you know, responsibility. I think we will bring the companies closer together. I think we may, you know, we may operate some things slightly
right.
differently.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at the end of the day, what we are trying to do is to grow a big, beloved sports betting brand.
Right.
And we are looking to create an experience that is fun and rewarding for our audience. And we're looking to showcase that experience, promote that experience, engage people around that experience using content and the internet.
Okay.
And so that's, you know, that's the win. So, you know, when, you know, if and when Penn acquires Barstool, that's a really important part of their strategy, regardless
right.
of what the corporate structure is.
Yeah. Okay. I understand. So the thing that really makes Barstool attractive is the demographics you guys have. Jay was telling me that your demographics skew much younger than any of the other, even the DFS companies. You know, they still mm-hmm. skews younger than them. Why is that so important to your company and to Penn?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Barstool is one of the most culturally relevant brands mm-hmm. for, you know, anyone from an 18 to 55-year-old.
Right.
And we've worked really hard to keep this brand hot
right.
for, you know, almost 20 years, mm-hmm. almost two decades, which is no small feat.
Mm-hmm.
And this brand means something. And it means something to an audience that is extremely discerning. They are very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of choice, and they're demanding customers. And
right.
so, you know, why I think it's important to be young is that when you look at sports betting, you know, sports betting in the U.S., as you know, is in some ways still in its infancy.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so you think about, hey, yeah, sure, it's great to get, you know, the sharps and very established bettors. The average age of a television viewer, I think, is 64 years old. Mm-hmm. You know, sure, that group is great, but this business isn't going to mature fully for 5-10 years.
Right.
And so mm-hmm. what you really want is you want today's 18-year-olds, when they're 28, they're right. making some money, they have some mm-hmm. disposable income,
right.
they're already loyal to your brand, they have your product, they spend a lot of time with you. That's why our audience being young and being highly engaged is very valuable.
Sure, sure. Well, you know, the Penn customer is a typical casino customer and, you know, skews a lot older. And are you looking to expand in that way? I mean, I'm an old guy and I enjoy the Barstool app. And
I like that. We'll take anybody who likes Barstool. Okay, so great, you are great. Very welcome.
Great.
We'll take your bets too. No, I don't foresee us. I don't foresee us, you know. I do think that we will create some synergies with the regional casinos, right?
Right?
If you look at next, you know, we're doing by the time this comes out, so we're doing a huge activation at Greektown.
Right.
We're mm-hmm. having a roller hockey tournament at Greektown with our hockey brand, which is called Spit and Chicklets.
Right.
We'll bring 2,000 people who want to play hockey, celebrate hockey, to a downtown casino in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'll see us do things like that.
I see.
I don't think you'll necessarily see Barstool become a regional casino brand in its own right, but
right.
who knows? I could be wrong.
Right, right. Okay. Since Konami's award-winning Dimension 49J premium cabinet made its world premiere at G2E 2019, the machine cabinet has expanded with a high degree of success. Next month at G2E 2021, casino professionals and executives can view three additional Dimension cabinets never before seen at the show. Konami's core and premium Class 3 machines have consistently ranked among the industry's top cabinets. G2E is a great time to discover these Konami Dimension slots firsthand. So, you know, we all know that Barstool is much more than just a sports betting and gambling app. It's about a lifestyle. Does that make it more sticky than other sports betting apps?
Yeah. You know, I think, I think consumers care about a bunch of things. I think they care about a good product. And there's a lot of really good sports betting products
right.
out there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of very sophisticated companies in this space. What our differentiator is that when you say the words Barstool Sports or Barstool Sportsbook or Big Cat or Dave Portnoy or
right.
Casey Smith or mm-hmm. Ryan Whitney, it means something.
Right.
It conjures up the idea of a person. And we have a brand that is human
mm-hmm.
and, you know, flawed and fallible and magic and funny and self-deprecating mm-hmm. and authoritative. We have all of those things. So when you think about today's sports bettor, sure, like, could they get the best, fastest experience on one of our competitors? Sure. But when they bet with Barstool Sports, it's like they're betting with Dave.
Right.
Or they're betting
yep.
with Big Cat. Like
right.
they're part of something. And you cannot buy or strategize your way into being part of something.
Mm-hmm.
Being part of something means that you've created something that is memorable and stands for something and has feeling associated with it. And that's really, you know, that's why we are so cultural.
Right, right. Absolutely. So Dave can be controversial sometimes. Is there any ever thought to like calm him down a little bit to you know, say, you know, don't say that, you'll offend people? Or I don't get that sense at all that that is possible.
I think you could. Dave Portnoy has offended probably most every person out there.
Right.
He's had a camera on him for 20 years.
Right.
And he has been, he's really put himself out there, and his thoughts, his humor, his opinion, his anger, his laugh, like all of those, his laughter, all those things
right.
are out there. That's part of what makes Dave so compelling, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have millions of people millions and millions of people watch that man eat a slice of pizza
right.
5 days a week.
Right.
Like, if you can get people to watch you eat a slice of pizza 5 days a week,
right.
you are doing something that people like and they gravitate to.
Right.
I personally think that the notion that Dave is so controversial, it is, I think it's overblown.
Yeah.
And I think it's not accurate. I think Dave is outspoken, and I know Dave does not care what people think about him.
Right, right.
And I think those are two great things sure. in growing a yep. personality and a brand. So, right. and then the last thing I would say is Dave's a good business person.
Yeah.
You know, we wouldn't have been able to be this successful in such a dramatically short amount of time if Dave was a hothead who
right.
you know, was sabotaging every deal I tried to create.
Right,
like Dave, sure. Dave at his heart is a businessman, and we've built a really great business.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it looks like, you know, you really look out for your core demographics, you know, from the unboxing pizza products, you know, during the pandemic, which gave visibility to struggling businesses, to the recent drive to raise money for small businesses that were negatively impacted during this time. It takes a compassion to do that. So I'm assuming that's not really planned to any extent. That really comes from the heart.
Yeah, it does. We kind of do it and then figure out how to do it is how I would describe right. us. You know, we've done a lot of that. We saw, you know, NCAA women's golfers were not able to play in their regional final,
right.
In a way that we felt was really upsetting. So within 72 hours, we created an incredible golf tournament,
mm-hmm.
Just for female athletes. The Barstool Fund, we've raised over $41 million. For small businesses at a time when the government wasn't stepping up,
right.
the legislators hadn't stepped up, chambers of commerce hadn't stepped up, like we stepped up for small businesses. We didn't have a PowerPoint or a plan at the beginning of 2020 to say, hey, we're going to raise money for small businesses. It happened on a Friday afternoon.
Right.
We had it in motion by Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just today we announced that we're creating our own 501(c) for mm-hmm. the Barstool Fund. So we'll continue to help small businesses. So there is a lot of compassion in this company.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a lot of, you know, do it first and figure it out later, which
right.
I also think is part of what makes us so exciting. Which
sure,
is
right.
You never really know what we're going to do next. And to be honest with you, we don't really know either.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So in addition to the Barstool app, Penn has also branded its bricks and mortar sportsbooks as Barstool Sportsbooks. How do you ensure that the Barstool online experience translates to the in-person experience?
Yeah, that's very important to us. That's mm-hmm. a great question. You know, one of the things that's so important to us is that when you see Barstool, you know it's Barstool. It should look like Barstool. It should smell like Barstool. It should taste like Barstool.
Right.
So we're maniacs. If you ask the Penn people, like
right.
we're maniacs about that. You know, we are very eager to have our own line of sports bars.
Right.
We're not going to retrofit our brand into things that just don't feel right.
Right.
And, you know, we're pretty ornery about that, I would mm-hmm. say. But it's important because that's the fastest way to kill something is to make it not stand for anything.
Right, right. So is there any plans to get into other areas of gambling? I can see a Barstool branded slot machine, maybe a bonus blackjack bets on the blackjack table, those kind of things. I mean, it seems to make sense to me. And you all know that casino, online casino makes a lot more than online sports books.
Right. Yeah, we've learned, you know, Penn's taught us a lot about the casino business.
Mm-hmm.
And the casino business is a good business. So, you know, I think, yes, you will see us get into different things. You'll see us, you know, we're interested in horse racing. We're
right.
interested in poker. We're interested in iCasino.
Right.
All of those things. And I think this is only just the beginning of what we will ultimately do in this category and in this sector. And I think what you can be assured of is, we will do it in a way that's uniquely Barstool.
Right. Okay, great. So, you know, Barstool is a kind of irreverent business. How have you grown so quickly with that kind of attitude? I mean, it's really been impressive.
Thank you. It's a lot of work. You know, we've worked very hard. We are very very comfortable being uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. We are not afraid of risk. We are a 24/7 company.
Right.
I mean, this place does not sleep. So right. I think those are some of the reasons. And then we also we understand the internet very well. And
right.
We understand what people want and how to give it to them. Mm-hmm. And we've gotten really organized
right.
and productized around how we do that.
Okay. How do you find employees who really get it and create loyalty throughout the brand? I mean, that's hard. Everybody's having trouble doing that right now.
That's the hardest thing. We've been fortunate in that we just have eyes for the internet, mm-hmm. so we can understand people who really work and can stand out on the internet.
Right.
I think in a way where we can get people earlier mm-hmm. than anyone else can.
Right.
I think the second thing is we have an incredible college program.
Right.
Whereby we're finding people to intern for us when they're 18, 19 years old.
Right. Yeah.
And by the time they enter the workforce, they get our brand. We've seen who's good and who's not good.
Mm-hmm.
So we're able to have our pick.
Right.
When we post a job, we posted a job for a camera person and had 18,000 applicants.
Wow.
So we're fortunate in that people want to work here. We're really
right.
grateful for that. But we also want to choose the best.
Right. Okay, great. So what's next for Barstool? Anything you can reveal?
We have a lot going on. I think we'll have a big fall with
yeah.
the sports book.
Mm-hmm.
We are getting into the live rights business. So mm-hmm. I think you'll start to see us broadcast games,
okay.
which has been a Barstool dream forever.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That'll be awesome. I think you'll see us create more products
right.
with our brand.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the big things. I think you'll
okay.
see us add new and different personalities.
Great. Well, Erica, thanks for taking the time to join us. It was really good talking to you, and congratulations on your success here with Penn, and hopefully we'll see it grow in the next several years.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast with special thanks to Konami Gaming. Consider visiting their Synchros team at G2E or schedule a demo in advance at konamigaming.com/systems. To learn more about Penn National Gaming and its relationship with Barstool, visit ggmagazine.com. For all the news of the gaming industry, particularly of the recovery from the pandemic, delivered to your desktop every Monday morning, sign up for free at ggbnews.com by using the coupon code GGB180. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on iTunes or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.